the House Committee on Consumer Protection, Government Efficiency to order. Colleagues, we've got a pretty long list of work sessions today, so we're going to get started. And but first, we're going to jump in the agenda to page 2, and we're going to open up a work session on House Bill 3329. And Representative Harker. Bob, describe 3329 for us, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3329 is the measure that establishes a state data center board to be appointed by the governor. The committee has dash one amendments that I believe the representative would like to speak to. We have statements of no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has been issued for the measure with the dash one amendment, Mr. Chair.
And the bill does have a subsequent to Ways and Means as well.
That is correct.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Representative Harker. If you'd introduce yourself for the record and give us a brief description of the dash one amendment, please.
Will do, Chair Holvey. Thank you, Chair and committee members. Very briefly, the amendment removes the requirement that the Senate approve the appointment to the board made by the governor.
And if you'd introduce yourself for the record.
Yes, good point. I almost always forget to do that. I am Representative Chris Harker from House District 34, which is Beaverton and Cedar Mill area. Thank you for the reminder. I introduced this after conversations with several people, including the governor, to find out what his concerns might be. I believe this addresses them.
Thank you. Committee, do we have questions of Representative Harker on House Bill 3329, which is about the State Data Center Board?
Quick question. Just
wondering if there were Kenny Geyer, question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wondering if there were any other concerns. I think they were working on these kind of issues. Anything else besides just not having to have the Senate approve?
What I heard, Chair Holvey.
To remind us, because it's been a while.
I'm sorry, what?
I just remind us, because it's been a while since we heard it.
Okay. Do you want me to go back through?
Well, just like
itself?
In a minute. No, just in a minute. When they came, did they have concerns that they expressed?
Chair Holvey, Rep. Kenny Geyer. There were conversations between me and the governor, and between myself and Michael Jordan, the chief operating officer, who was here expressing support for the bill's conceptually. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but following those conversations, there were suggestions about how what degree of authority the governor might have, or the chief information officer might have, and the Department of Administrative Services might have.
Mm-hmm.
My final conversation with the governor led me to believe that this amendment addressed his concerns, and I copied him on the, I have sent those back to him. I have not heard back definitively from his office.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you, Representative Harker. And you can just stay there if you'd like. Representative Lively, could I have a motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendment, please?
Chairman Holmey, I move we adopt the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3329, dated 4-10-2013.
Representative Harker moves we adopt Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3329, dated 4-10-2013. Discussion about the amendment? Seeing none, is there objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, dash one is adopted to House Bill 3329. Representative Lively, this has a referral to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 3329 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 3329 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation and the subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, Samantha, can we have a vote on that, please?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Excused.
Representative Megan Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 3329 is passed. I'll close the work session on House Bill 3329 and open a work session on House Bill 3258. Bob, can you give us a brief description of House Bill 3258, please?
Oh, yeah. Assign a character.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3258 is the measure that establishes the office of the State Chief Information Officer and transfers certain responsibilities and resources from the Director of the Department of Administrative Services to that new office. This measure also has a Dash 1 amendment that Representative Harker would like to speak to. The measure has no revenue impact. A fiscal statement has been issued, and the measure has a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Representative Harker, if you'd introduce yourself for the record.
and only with your urging.
Twice. And describe briefly the Dash 1 amendment to this bill, please.
Okay. Representative Chris Harker, House District 34, Beaverton, Cedar Hill. And this amendment does essentially the same thing that the one did on the previous bill, which is to remove requirement of Senate confirmation of the governor's appointment, this time of the chief information officer for the state. The conversations were the same as I alluded to before. The same process was followed. I hope the same vote will follow. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions about the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Lively, can we have a motion on the amendment?
Sure. I move we adopt the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3258, dated 4-10-2013.
Representative Lively moves the Dash 1 amendment be adopted to House Bill 3258, dated 4-10-2013. Discussion? Seeing none, is there objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, Dash 1's adopted to House Bill 3258. Representative Lively, can we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3258 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 3258 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Samantha, can we have a vote, please?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Excused.
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 3258, having received required votes, is passed to the Ways and Means.
Thank you very much, one and all. See how it fares down there.
Have a nice afternoon. Thank you.
See you soon.
So with that committee. Where are we at here? Why do you say that one?
Got a big screen TV here.
Okay. We'll open a work session, House Bill 3409. Bob, can you give us a brief description of House Bill 3409?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3409, and as soon as my measure summary comes up, is the measure that relates to natural hair care. The committee has a Dash 1 amendment, and I believe we have individuals here to speak to that amendment for the committee. The committee also has statements of no revenue impact and no fiscal impact for the measure with a Dash 1 amendment.
Thank you. Representative Kenny Geyer, can you speak to the Dash 1 amendment briefly?
Sure. This was a, thank you, Mr. Chair. This was a very small technical tweak. There was a concern from somebody who represents the schools of cosmetology that perhaps it wasn't clear that that natural hair care could be also done within, that this bill might change it and make it look like they can't do natural hair care. And of course, that was not the intent. So we tweaked the language to, at the very last sentence you'll see, to just clarify, add a sentence clarifying that people who graduate with certificates in cosmetology can practice natural hair care. That was really basically the only thing.
Thank you. I think that was an important amendment because I do know that they do teach those in those colleges. I have some knowledge about that. And I appreciate that. Representative Lively, can we have a motion on the amendment, please?
I move we adopt the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3409, dated 4-3-2013.
Representative Lively moves the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3409, dated 4-3-2013. Discussion on the amendment? Objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none. Dash 1 is adopted. Representative Lively.
I move House Bill 3409 to the floor, as amended, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 3409 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Thatcher.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I love this bill. I sign on to this bill. I also had asked the question, so just to make it clear on the record for everybody else what the answer was, I want to make sure that people who were already licensed cosmetologists didn't also have to go and get a separate thing to do this. So my answer was that, or the answer that I got back was no, they would not have to have an additional endorsement or whatever, you know, certification or whatever. So anyhow. That's
right, and that was the amendment as well.
Right.
To clarify just that, because you're right, thanks. It wasn't clear.
Thank you for the discussion. And, did we adopt the amendment already?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, with that, have we got a motion to move the bill?
I think I made that motion.
Okay, great. Samantha, can we have the vote, please?
Representative Prince.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Kinney-Geyer.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively.
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson.
Aye.
Chair Holby.
Aye. And with that, I may have a potential conflict of interest on this bill, and though I'm not certain that I do, and because it does not affect the financial interest of my spouse, who teaches hair care and cosmetology and is licensed in the Board of Cosmetology and also licensed as an instructor of hair care.
Mr. Holby.
You're picking up a new kind of avocation. I was just trying to picture it.
Hey, Mr. Chair, I would have a similar statement to make. I'm not sure if it's actually, I have a daughter who's a licensed cosmetologist.
Yeah, but if she doesn't teach, probably not.
Okay.
But, you know, anyway, mine's just a potential, not an actual, so. So with that, I'm going to close the work session. We'll have Representative Kinney-Geyer carry this bill. Would you like to carry it?
Love to.
Okay, Representative Kinney-Geyer will carry the bill on the floor. And with that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 3409. I will stand at ease for just a minute, please. Reconvene the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Efficiency, and we are going to open a work session on House Bill 2620. Bob, can you give us a brief description of House Bill 2620?
Mr. Chair and committee members, House Bill 2620 is the measure that makes findings on regional and community-based governance. And we have a dash one amendment that replaces the measure, which focuses on regional and community-based solutions. The committee has that dash one amendment and also has statements of no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has been issued for this measure with its subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We have a dash one amendment. Representative Clem, would you like to describe the amendment, or are you good with the description we gave?
Nervously watching you, unless you want me to. I don't need to.
Okay. Then we won't call you up. Are there questions about the amendment? I'm going to make a motion on the amendment. Is that Representative Lively?
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 2620 be adopted, dated 4/2/2013.
Representative Lively moves we adopt the dash one amendment to House Bill 2620, dated 4/2/2013. Discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment's adopted. Representative Lively.
Aye. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2620 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 2620 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Samantha, can we have a vote, please?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Excused.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Yes.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. And can we have Representative Penny Geyer vote?
Absolutely. Representative Penny Geyer?
Aye.
House Bill 2620 is passed to the Committee on Ways and Means. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 2620 as the room vacates. I'm going to open a work session, House Bill 2207. Bob, give us a brief description of House Bill 2207, please.
Mr. Chair and committee members, House Bill 2207 is the measure that requires state payroll to be issued through direct electronic deposit. Many will recall from our April 4th meeting adopting a dash 3 amendment which addresses certain special situations that might arise relating to payroll. We have statements of no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has been issued on House Bill 2207 with the dash 3 amendment, Mr. Chair.
And the fiscal statement does it have a dollar amount attached to it?
There was a dollar amount related to the Department of Transportation, but it was indeterminate with regard to Department of Administrative Services, I believe, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And the bill has been amended already?
That's correct.
Representative Lively.
Chair Hovey, I move House Bill 2307 as amended. 22. House Bill 2207 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 2207 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
I think this is a timely bill, Mr. Chair. It will help to align our state government with the terms of a bill we passed off the floor yesterday that pertained to private sector businesses. So I think it's good to show that alignment across the state of Oregon.
Thank you. I agree. It's a great bill. Seeing no other discussion, Samantha, can we have a vote, please?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative
Kenny
Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 2207, having received the required votes, has passed to the floor. Representative Vega Peterson, would you like to carry this bill?
I'd be delighted to.
Thank you. With that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 2207, and we will open up a work session on House Bill 2822. Bob, can you give us a description of House Bill 2822?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2822 is the measure that requires newspaper publication of the notice of sale for real property. The committee will recall from our April 9th meeting adopting a -4 amendment, which requires certain information regarding the notice of sale to be posted online and certain information to be posted in the newspaper of general circulation in a county. We have, the measure has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact as amended, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And the amendment we... It's adopted. We have the fiscal, everything on that. Okay. Representative Lively, can we have a motion on the amended bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2822 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 2822 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Kenny Geyer?
Thank you. I will support this bill. I think it's a good temporary measure to start showing people that there are places in the website for more information. I probably would have been more comfortable with a sunset on it. I know that legal task force.
Law commission? The
Oregon State Bar.
Are
examining these issues, so I imagine it will come up again. I think it's a good temporary measure.
Thank you. Any other discussions? Seeing none, Samantha, can we have a vote?
Representative
Doherty? Aye. Representative Johnson? Aye. Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 2822 having received the votes, passed the floor. Representative Richardson, would you like to carry this one?
Yes.
Thank you. With that, we'll close work session on House Bill 2822. And we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2927. Bob, give us a brief description of House Bill 2927, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2927 is the measure that with the amendment the committee adopted, directs the governor to submit a report to the 2014 regular session of the Legislative Assembly regarding boards and commissions, including certain specified information, requires the governor to consult with certain members of the Legislative Assembly and the Secretary of State in developing that report. That was the -1 amendment to the measure, which was adopted in our April 9th meeting. The committee has statements of no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact for the measure as amended, which does have a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lively, could we have a motion on House Bill 2927 as amended?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2927 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 2927 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion on the motion? Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, this may be one of the most useful bills of the entire session if it can help to eliminate some of the task forces and work groups that come upon as a part of legislative action. I heartily endorse it.
Thank you, and we didn't create a task force to do it. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Samantha, you're busy today. Can we have a vote?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 2927, having received the required votes, is moved to the Committee on Ways and Means. Now close the work session on House Bill 2927.
I think Representative Johnson ought to carry the bill.
He can't carry it.
Because of Ways and Means. We could put the request in.
Oh, that's right. It's going to Ways and Means.
Do you want to carry it? Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'd love to. Open a work session on House Bill 3168. Bob, give us a brief description of House Bill 3168, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3168 is the measure that requires the Department of Administrative Services to adopt rules specifying the categories of individuals subject to criminal records checks, information to be required of each category. Types of crimes to be considered for each category, and when nationwide fingerprint-based checks must be conducted. committee has no amendments to this measure. We've received statements of no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has been issued on House Bill 3168, Mr. Chair.
And the dollar amount or indeterminate classification?
I will verify that number, Mr. Chair. Fiscal on this measure is indeterminate according to the Legislative Fiscal Office, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lively, could we have a...
Chair Hovey, I move House Bill 3168 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 3168 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Smith.
Question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure who to ask this question of. My understanding is we're trying to bring a standard to the way criminal record checks are conducted within state agencies. Does that include, or is it our intention to include, the state lottery as well, that does even, and OSP that do more extensive checks?
And I believe so. I'll check with Bob. Oh, there's somebody here. Maybe they can answer that question better than I can. Oh, I didn't see you back there. I'm glad you're paying attention. If you'd introduce yourself for the record, please.
Chair Hovey and members of the committee, my name is Twyla Lawson. I'm with the Department of Administrative Services. And this is Patricia Whitfield, Oregon State Police Identification Services.
Thank you. And you remember the question?
Would you like me to repeat? Would you have that?
Yes, we remember the question. And you said Oregon State Lottery and Oregon State Police. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I'm just saying those as two that come to my mind. But there might be others that require more significant background checks.
Yes, and both of our recollection is those were intentionally not included.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other questions on
this measure?
Seeing none, thank you for being available. I would have struggled with that. Representative Black, do we have a motion on this yet?
We have
yes.
Don't we?
Yeah, we have.
We're in discussion on the
motion. Heck, when you get old, isn't it? No other discussion on the motion. Samantha, can we have a vote?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No, excused.
Representative Kinney-Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 3168, having received your votes, is passed to the floor. We'll have Representative Nathanson carry this bill. So with that, I'll close the work session. House Bill 3168. Open a work session on House Bill 2823. Bob, give us a brief description, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2823 is the measure that establishes requirements for association accounts of planned community homeowners associations and condominium unit owner associations. The committee will recall on April 4th adopting a -2 amendment, which did replace the measure with substantially similar specifications for those association accounts. With the amendment, the measure has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lively, do we have a motion?
Chair Hovey, I move the adoption of House Bill 2823 as amended. Move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 2823 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Lively.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just declare a potential conflict of interest. I am a homeowner in Eagle Crest, and that's one of the associations impacted by this bill.
Okay. Not sure you need one, but go ahead. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure I need one either, but I own multiple properties that are covered by this legislation. And one of the projects that I received actually a letter from them on stating their position on this. And so I just want to make sure I declare that conflict.
Okay. And anybody else?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, no. I was going to say. I avoid owning homes where they're homeowners.
Okay. Samantha, can we have a vote, please?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Excused.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 2823, having received the required votes, is passed to the floor. Could we have a carrier? Do we want a carrier? Do we want to put it on the consent calendar?
Mm-hmm. No.
Probably not.
I'll carry it.
Just Sam Doherty, thanks. He's so anxious to carry bills. Representative Doherty will carry the bill. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2823. And we'll open a work session on House Bill 3447. Bob, can you give us a description of House Bill 3447 and our status on this bill?
Mr. Chair and committee members, relying on a semester
that's slightly out of date. Something to do with flower girls.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 3447 requires a person conducting a floral business operation to disclose the physical location of their principal place of business in their advertising. The committee may recall from our last meeting discussion of a Dash 1 amendment. I believe that we have an individual here to speak to that Dash 1 amendment, Mr. Chair.
Representative Doherty, do you wish Gardner to come up? Mr. Gardner, you want to come up and tell us something about the Dash 1 Amendment?
Sure.
We have a motion, right?
Go ahead and make the motion.
Yeah, go ahead and make the motion, please.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 Amendment to House Bill 3447, dated 3-19-2013, be adopted.
Yeah, Representative Lively moves the Dash 1 Amendment to House Bill 3447. I believe it's dated 3-19.
Yep. 2013.
Thank you. And if you could describe the amendment briefly for us, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Gardner. I represent FTD, Teleflora, and 1-800-Flowers, which are the three principal national floral order facilitators that operate in the United States and internationally. The Dash 1 amendments are virtually identical to a piece of model legislation that is currently in effect in the state of California that has been proved to be very effective at dealing with the problem of deceptive practices that you've heard testimony about. We're fully in support of legislation that deals with that problem. The amendment also corrects certain technical problems that are currently in the printed bill, such as an inadvertent requirement imposed on third parties such as Amazon to disclose on the home page of Amazon certain required disclosures. I do want to mention that we have worked with the principal, with the sponsor, Representative Kampf, who has been very gracious and very helpful in terms of our proposed amendment. It's essentially a cleanup amendment, and it also substitutes a penalty to be assessed by DCBS in the amount of $250. It is our intention, and we have also assured the chair the sponsor, that we will seek and support an amendment on the Senate side, upping that to $2,500. And also, we have assured Representative Richardson that on the Senate side, we will change the wording on page 2, line 9, to clarify that there is the following, the listed elements there are exempt. It says now this section does not apply to ISPs, et cetera, telephone directory publishers. And I think that Representative Richardson is more comfortable if that were to say the following entities are exempt from this section, which we're fine with as well. We'd prefer to do that on the Senate side just to save you time and us time.
Thank you. Yeah. Representative Doherty, would you like to add anything to that?
Just a little. I'm Margaret Doherty, representative from House District 35, Tigard in Southwest Portland. And I guess with disclosure, I am a florist, I guess by trade now. And I did work with Representative Comp on this bill. And with some of the issues that were brought up by Cindy, which are very, very deceptive, that this, in my opinion and others, addresses the major problem, and that's where you have a floral company that says this is Woodburn Florist, this is Tigard Florist, and it's someplace in Indianapolis. So we're comfortable with that. We think it's a good bill that's much much easier to work with and addresses the concerns of the big internet providers, and yet protects the consumer and your local florist. So thank you much for considering the amendment.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Don't see any question. Oh, Representative Richardson, question?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chair, Mr. Gardner, I appreciate your willingness to tighten up the wording so that there could be no misunderstanding that the exemption applies to the publisher of a phone book or to Google or an internet provider, but doesn't go on through to those that are advertising in those media. Also, I have a question about the enforcement provision. Presently, it says the director of the Department of Consumer Business Services will be the enforcement mechanism. My understanding is that floral businesses are really subject to the Secretary of State's office and Department of Corporations and are not overseen by DCBS. And so I would wonder whether or not DCBS is prepared to accept responsibility to enforce this regardless of the size of the potential fine.
Mr. Chair, Representative Richardson, I forgot to mention that in my opening testimony. And that is one of the other things that we are going to confirm on the Senate side and communicate back to you through the appropriate officials at DCBS. We do think it's an appropriate agency. It is consumer services, but we will definitely confirm that and communicate that back to you and the committee.
Thank you for bringing that up.
The concern is we do not want a right without a remedy. I mean, there needs to be a way to enforce.
Thank you. And Representative Richardson and I had that discussion yesterday, and it may be that the Department of Justice may in fact be the consumer regulatory authority under this bill eventually, but that discussion will happen on the Senate side. Though it's Department of Consumer and Business Services, they mostly do business regulation. So they would have to regulate this industry, I believe, to be able to levy a fine. And then we would have to think about licensing and all sorts of other regulations that aren't contained in this bill. So I think that's worth a discussion. So with that on the record, is there an objection to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment to House Bill 3447 is adopted. And we have to wait on this bill for final voting. We just want to get the amendment adopted so we can get the fiscal ordered. So I'm going to close work session on House Bill 3447.
Get the amendment.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to vote. We have the fiscal statements.
Now open a work session on House Bill 3159. And I know. I do want to announce I skipped over House Bill 3415, and we won't be working that bill today. if anybody's waiting around for that bill. I just sort of noticed somebody was sitting around. I was trying to figure out what they were waiting for. Sorry about that. I have opened a work session on House Bill 3159. We're in work session. Bob, can you give us a description of House Bill 3159?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3159 is the measure that relates to maximum rates that can be charged for the towing of a motor vehicle without prior consent or authorization of the owner or operator. The committee has a dash 7 amendment, which replaces the measure, and we have an individual here to speak to that dash 7 amendment. I will note for the committee that with the dash 7 amendment, there is no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact to the measure, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Jeffries.
Good afternoon, committee.
And before you start, Representative Lavely, can we have a motion on the amendment?
Certainly. I move we adopt the Dash 7 amendment to House Bill 3159, dated 4-4-2013.
Representative Lively moves the Dash 7 amendments to House Bill 3159, dated 4-4-2013. And under the discussion, Mr. Jeffries, can you describe the Dash 7 amendment to us?
Sure. For the record, my name is Kevin Jeffries. I'm a city councilor for the city of McMinnville, and I'm a former legislative aide to a couple of representatives over the past. The Dash 7 amendments are somewhat of a departure from the original bill. I have submitted a public testimony, and I realize there's a lot of bills still waiting to be heard, so I'll be very brief. Basically, what the Dash 7 does is it takes the rate setting responsibility away from Department of Transportation and puts it at the local level with the cities and counties. On the testimony that we heard back in March 12th and 14th, it was pretty clear that the towers didn't want to have a statewide rate set. They felt that wasn't really the way they do business. Every city and every county has different markets and different needs and different costs. And so, Department of Transportation felt that they weren't really well suited to set these rates. As a city councilor, I can assure you that the cities of the size specified in this bill set rates all the time. They set sewer rates. They have franchise agreements with trash companies. This is something that they're capable of doing. And often, actually most of these cities and counties already have towing rates set up for their police departments and sheriff's departments for when they do tows. And so what this bill will do is require cities with populations of 15,000 or more to establish the maximum rates that a tower can charge, require all counties to establish the maximum rates that a tower can charge. So for populations less than 15,000, require that towers obtain a license from a city and county where they will be performing PPI tows. So PPI is those personal property impounds, those that are not kind of the at-will tows. Allow cities and counties to collect fees for issuing a license that shall not exceed the cost of administrating the license program. As a city councilor, we don't like unfunded mandates, so we appreciate when that can happen. Require cities and counties to establish a process by which the city and county will receive and respond to complaints relating to violations. That came out of the fact that the Department of Transportation has been regulating towing across the state for years. And these complaints continue to happen, these violations continue to happen, and the Department of Transportation just hasn't really been able to get down on the ground level and deal with these complaints. So by distinguishing the different types of tows, there's just the general roadside assistance tows, and then there's the PPI tows. We felt that having the PPI tows regulated at the city level and county levels will provide greater consumer protections. If the tower is violating the statutes regarding PPI tows, they could have their license revoked for performing those PPI tows within that city and county. So that's pretty aggressive. But honestly, most towers play by the rules. I could probably count on one hand how many that are not. And I've been a beneficiary of great roadside service, and I think we all have and appreciate what towers do. But cities are also struggling with trying to kind of rail in some of the abuse, and this should give them the power to do that. This bill also sets a expiration date, an annual expiration date, but that can be determined by the cities and counties as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's a pretty good rundown of the amendment there. I do appreciate that.
Just so everyone knows, I have worked really closely with the Towing Association on this. That's why they're dash sevens, because we have gone through several amendments trying to get this right.
All right. And I appreciate that. So we have a motion to adopt the dash seven. Are there questions or any comments? We're not going to move this bill today. I just want to adopt the amendment.
I do have a question. Just to make real sure that this is only regulating prices on situations where a consumer doesn't have any control. The PPI exactly. is what you're talking about, not other rates, not other situations that where there's competition and perhaps somebody can choose somebody else if they want to.
Right. And actually, the way this is written, they can have some flexibility even within the city on what they want to charge, because it's setting the maximum rate they can set, not the flat rate, not exactly what everyone has to charge.
But only for those.
Exactly.
Kind of
only for
situations.
Those instances where you're parking at a restaurant and you may have been over the line, and the property manager says, "Tow this vehicle." You come out, you have no idea.
Right.
Only those tows. Not if you have a flat tire and you need it towed. That's different.
Thanks for asking.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Representative Johnson?
Just to clarify, I believe the requirement to get a license only applies to towers that are towing vehicles without prior consent. We're not requiring those that tow electively for those people with the flats or with the disabled vehicles. They're outside of this, correct?
Right. And those towers already have license to do that under, sure. Okay. under ODOT. Right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Tell you, I really appreciate all the work you put into this, and in your spare time. So you've done an incredible amount of work on this, and I really appreciate that. So is no other discussion. Is there any objection to adopting the amendment?
Clarification, we have not adopted any previous amendment, correct?
That is correct. Is that correct, Bob? Let's verify that.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
I checked with my alter over here, and he confirms that's correct. So no objection to adopting the amendment. The Dash 7's amendment adopted to 3159. And we will close work session on House Bill 3159. Thank you. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 3330. Bob, can you give us a brief description of House Bill 3330, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3330 is the measure that requires governmental agencies to utilize electronic fingerprint capture for the purpose of taking fingerprints for conducting criminal records checks. This measure has a dash one amendment before the committee. Someone here to speak to that amendment. We do have someone who can speak to that amendment if there are questions. The measure has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact with that dash one amendment, Mr. Chair.
And it still has the subsequent referral to Ways and Means?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lively, can we have a motion?
Certainly. Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 3330. Dated 4-18-13 be adopted.
Representative Lively moves the dash one amendment to House Bill 3330, dated 4-8-13. Is there questions or discussion about the amendment on this bill? It looks pretty minimal.
Mr. Chair, I don't have those amendments.
Thank you.
You're good.
Mr. Chair, for the benefit of those listening, the Dash 1 amendment allows the Department of State Police to adopt by rule exemptions from the requirement to use electronic fingerprints.
I guess I do that.
You're good.
anything else? Any other questions? Is there any objection to adopting the amendment? Not seeing any, the Dash 1 amendment is adopted. Representative Wiley, we have a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3330 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 3330 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Samantha, can we have a vote, please?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Kinney-Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 3330 is passed to the Committee on Ways and Means. Okay. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 3330. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3331. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3331. Okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3360. While you're trying to multitask there, Bob.
Getting my pay today, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3360 is the measure that creates a task force on state agency information technology expertise. The committee has before it a Dash 3 amendment, which replaces the measure, and I believe that we have an individual here to speak to that Dash 3 amendment. We do not at this time, Mr. Chair, have a fiscal statement on the amendment.
Thank you. If I think we will ask someone to come up and speak to us about this amendment, if they're able to. Oh, Representative Vega Peterson,
yeah,
would you?
I forgot.
You probably know more about this amendment than anybody. Why don't you come down so we can pepper you with questions as well. And I apologize for overlooking you down there waving at me and trying to catch my attention.
That's all right, Chair. So,
if you would identify yourself for the record, please.
Chair Holby, members of the committee, I'm Jessica Vega Peterson, and I represent House District 47, which is the part of the city of Portland that's east of I-205. So, yes, what you have before you is the Dash 3 amendment to the original bill, and this amendment comes as a result of work that we've had and discussions that we've had with the Department of Administrative Services, and so I wanted to thank them for their work in really crafting a bill that's going to work for the spirit of finding a way to address some of the concerns that we had on how much we're spending and the efficiencies that we have around informational systems at the state. So the Dash 3 amendment really provides two things. It increases the size of the agencies that can that need to use this into 300 full-time employees. That's from the Department of Administrative Services. This seemed like a better number that more realistically fit the types of groups that would be needing to use this. This new team. And the second way is it's going to provide the services that they need to contract out of IT. So it gives them additional flexibility. So it has less mandates and gives them more flexibility into how this team comes up in light of the other legislation that we voted on previously and into what the new IT system is going to look like. And finally, it requires the Department of Administrative Services to report back to the legislature in February of 2014 on the results of putting together this team with an eye to having this implemented by July 1st of 2014.
Great.
Okay.
Identify yourself.
Members of the committee, I'm Gary Weeks. I'm a resident of Kaiser and a 30-plus retiree from the state of Oregon. I manage four different state agencies. I believe I'm in Representative Thatcher's district. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I have had a chance to work with Representative Vega Peterson and DAS on this bill. I was the director of DAS twice. Second time because I didn't learn the first time, apparently. But and in that process, and in the 31 years I spent in government, I saw lots of examples of problems with IT because we had agencies that simply didn't have the resources that are necessary to define the problem they faced, to define the choices they had to resolve that problem, to figure out how to develop, implement, manage technology systems that were going to address their needs. So what this bill does is to create within DAS what we call the Shared Technology Services Group. And as some of you know, DAS already has shared services for many of the small agencies. They provide personnel, accounting, payroll, auditing, facility management for smaller agencies so that we don't have a lot of duplication going on in agencies in that area. This would do the same. It basically would say that DAS has the authority to go out and collect from among the existing positions in state government a cadre of well-trained, well-experienced technology people, probably in the neighborhood of 10 to 15. So you've got a small group of really skilled people that you're going to have available to help agencies, particularly the smaller ones, define the problems they have with IT and come to the solutions, help them work through the whole thing. So it's an investment in better performance in technology in this state. And DAS has been, as Representative Vega Peterson has said, DAS has been very helpful to us in building this, and I think they've got the capacity and are looking forward to having a resource like this. So it's important that you understand we're really not trying to create new positions. We're trying to use the resources we have in state government, centralize those, focus those in a way that we get a better outcome for IT projects. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Questions on the -3 amendment? This bill? Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a clarification. So the original bill called for the creation of a task force, right? And now we're moving into actually establishing the Office of Shared Information Technology Services. So we've advanced from task force to actually creating kind of a new entity within DAS. Is that right?
Yes. So Chair Hovey, Representative Johnson. So the original bill did have that task force. And when we had the public hearing the first time, the -1 amendment also went the step forward in creating the actual team. So this is, the -3 is just building on what we had first had in that -1 amendment.
Thank you. Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I love the concept. I think it's a great concept if it results in a decreasing of the size of the IT department in a whole bunch of small agencies, because we have centralized, knowledgeable people. And we have a small agency. IT people are not going to be as busy all the time as they would in a large agency where you have more people and more units and all that. Can you show me where in this bill that would actually result? That I love the idea of taking key people from other positions and helping them help more than just where they may be assigned presently. How will this be more efficient and not just another layer of state help?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Richardson, the efficiencies here are we have hundreds of IT positions across state government. What we're saying in this bill is that DAS has the ability to go out and from within all those IT positions collect 10 to 15. That should be fairly easy to do, to identify. And they're going to identify people with unique and particular skills and experience that DAS will be able to form into, a SWAT team is probably not the best description, but a very skilled group. And they will bill those out on a regular billing system. But in terms of the additional costs, these are
existing positions, existing expenditure authority. You're trying to bring some of it together and use it in a much more focused way to get better decisions about the technology that we acquire and about how we install, implement it, and make it work. And I think, if I can respond to Representative Johnson's, you know, I have seen so many task forces in my lifetime in state government that I think Representative Vega Peterson, we were very happy that, you know, she said, let's actually do something. You know, task force, another report, nothing happens. This is a do something bill where we actually build a resource that is going to create a better opportunity for us to get results in an area that we struggle with. I mean, I have to tell you, this is very personal for me. I chair the Oregon Student Access Commission, State Commission on Student Aid. We have 25 people. We have two programmers and 25 people. We distribute $100 million in general funds every 2 years to several hundred thousand individuals going to school in Oregon. We're a little agency, and we run a legacy system that was built years ago. We have to replace that. We do not have the skills to do that at all. So,
okay, may I follow up?
Certainly.
Is it the intention of this bill that when there are positions that these key people are taken, that there will be a reduction of that position and not just a refilling of the position? In other words, are we really going to be able to consolidate and not merely expand?
Mr. Chairman, I'll let the sponsor answer that.
Yeah, thanks, Chair Holvey and Representative Richardson. That is actually the intention, is to have this be a team where we have gathered from other agencies to really bring the expertise into one area, and so that we can use those talents most efficiently throughout all of our state agencies. And that's the goal here. And that's why we asked for the report in the next legislative session to really look at kind of what is the plan for staffing and budgeting this, and how does that affect the other agencies.
Great. Representative Smith. You got that right? I'm sure that you understand. Great, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Richardson, and I agree. That was our conversation about how do we bring FTEs together from different program areas and have a more concerted effort on IT that's more effective across all our agencies, and certainly it goes to Ways and Means, and they're going to figure out how to juggle those FTEs, whether they're end up exactly the same FTEs. I think that's going to be up to Ways and Means. So,
Mr. Chair,
we'll visit.
Representative Patrick.
I just want to mention, thank you for bringing this forward. I just wanted to point out that one of the issues that we had in trying to craft a good transparency bill back in 2009 was the fact, one of the biggest hurdles was we have such a disparate IT system going across the state agencies that we couldn't do everything we wanted to do. And so helping bring this into, you know, focusing it so that we are pulling the same direction, having an actual plan, this, I think, plays into it, so it'll help.
Yeah, and Chair Holvey, Representative Thatcher, and this bill really is, I look at this as like a first step in a bigger conversation about really what we're doing with IT and our state agencies across the board. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I really appreciate all the work that's gone into this. I'm really excited about this particular bill, as I think many of us are. With that, I think do we have the motion on the -3 amendment yet?
I don't think so, do we? I don't think
so. Let's make it again just to make sure.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the -3 amendment to House Bill 3360, dated 4-11-2013.
Representative Lively moves -3 amendments be adopted to House Bill 3360, dated 4-11-2013. We've sort of had our discussion on the -3 amendment. Is there any other comments? Thank you, Representative Vega Peterson, for working. This has a potential bill to create some great efficiencies, I think. So with that, is there any objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, -3 amendments adopted to House Bill 3360, and we'll close the work session on House Bill 3360 as we need to wait for the paperwork on that. And we're going to go back up and reopen the work session on House Bill 3331, committee. Or have we opened this at all yet?
We did open it.
Yes, we just adopted the amendment to this bill.
We didn't actually yet. This was the one that you opened and closed.
Okay, that's the one that I opened and closed because we weren't quite ready. We're ready now. So, Bob, give us a description of this bill and what status we're looking at.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3331 is the measure that requires the Department of State Police to establish a voluntary central criminal records check registry. The committee has before it both dash 1 and dash 3 amendments to the measure, and we have just received the fiscal statements for both of those amendments. The measure has no revenue impact, and there's a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means, Mr. Chair.
And thank you. And I think we'll ask the State Police and DAS to maybe come up and talk to us about this one if they feel so courteous enough to do that for us. Good afternoon. If you could identify yourself again for the record, please.
Chair Hobie and members of the committee, my name is Twyla Lawson, and I'm with the Department of Administrative Services.
And Patricia Whitfield, Oregon State Police Identification Services.
So could one of you describe the amendment to this bill and what it does?
Absolutely, Chair Hobie. We have first the dash 1 amendments. The dash 1 amendments allow for the voluntary removal of someone to the registry. So if someone enters into the registry, then this gives them the ability to essentially remove themselves. Okay. And then it also changes it from a quarterly check. There would be an initial fingerprint check when they go in, and then there would be repeat checks. And initial language said quarterly, and this changes it to annually. Then the dash 3 amendments add in clarification on which statutes of employers and licensees are included in the bill. In addition, it also clarifies that it must inquiries into the registry must be done after, in cases of employment, must be done after an offer is made. And are there any questions?
Thank you, Representative Smith. Question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The day that this bill had its original hearing, I was absent, so I apologize on that. I'm trying to get my arms around why someone would do this. Why would somebody go into a voluntary fingerprinting process?
No, you want me to.
Criminal record check process.
We might both answer this question. Chair Holby and Representative Smith. My understanding is that the concept of this bill is to try to minimize the number of background checks that any one person has to go through for a myriad of.
Yes, and if I might add, because I was involved in this discussion last session when we created a work group around this bill with Representative Nathanson and myself, and she sort of took the lead on this. This bill is aimed at, we had like 3 or 4 criminal background check bills in this committee, and this one is aimed at trying to minimize the amount of background checks that one individual is required to go through, because now they can go back to this registry and say, oh, you've already had one. So because I work in DHS, for example, and I work for this caregiver over here, now I'm going to work for this caregiver over here, and currently they have to get a whole new background check. So it's very expensive to the state of Oregon, and it's very expensive to a lot of nonprofits and businesses, you know, to be able to have to go through these multiple background checks that are very redundant. And so this effort is really aimed at trying to be more efficient with this, and creating this registry allows us to, you know, have this updated in the registry and be able to go through and
I apologize. I missed that, Dave. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. Thank you.
Representative Kinney-Geyer.
Thank you. I'll try quickly. The going from quarterly to annual, there's still a reporting requirement that if you conduct a crime, it gets reported to this registry, right? It's not. I want to make sure that we're not losing the aspect of immediate feedback to the agencies.
Chair Holby and Representative Kinney-Geyer, amendment to have that recheck done less frequently
would obviously create some sort of a gap in that recheck. This bill does not allow the requirement to, or allow the state police to retain the fingerprint, so it's a name check, recheck every either quarter or annually.
And Representative Kinney-Geyer, that's one of the other bills. That is House Bill 2828, the ratback that you're speaking of.
Maybe that's it. So I just, but I want to make sure that we're not in Amendment 1. Why? Why are we doing that? Because we're going. Why are we doing that?
Chair Hovey and Representative Kinney-Geyer, it's to reduce the frequency. It's less cost to check it. I can't really speak any additional detail to it.
It was a cost measure.
And where did that amendment come from? What was the impetus for that?
That was and I can't speak specifically to it, but Representative Nathanson was working with stakeholders and the agencies and working on the fiscal, working with the ACLU and trying to come to an agreement on that particular piece. But I think a part of it was fiscally driven as well. You know, as we're trying to do this to create efficiencies and, you know, spending less money, that was one of the pieces. I'm sure that discussion will probably also happen in the Ways and Means Committee.
Chair Hovey, Representative Kinney-Geyer, I do think that it's important to note that there are some checks today where they get checked once and they never get checked again. So this still would help.
An improvement over what we have now.
And if you would like, we could stand at ease and request that Representative Nathan's come down if you'd like a more specific. You don't want to bother. Okay. Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. I just wanted to get some clarification perhaps on how this would work for those instances where it's not some person going to one agency to another in those duplications, but if they're going from one field that has one type of background check to a different field that might have a different background check, how that would work. Would this, I mean, I guess it seems like they would have to have whatever extra that they didn't get over here and perhaps might need over here to, I guess, qualify. I just want to make sure that we're, you know, not.
Chair Hovey and Representative Thatcher, this particular bill and the registry, again, is a one-time check for the fingerprint check and then the follow-up with the name check. And it does require that the applicant has no criminal history in order to be registered. So I think that's part of the amendment in -3, that then there has to be an offer of employment before the agency checks. And then if the person isn't in the registry, then the agency would still have to go through a background check. So it sort of covers both that way.
Very well thought out. I'm glad we have smart people trying to figure this out for the last year and a half or 2 years. Any other comments, questions? Thank you very much, committee. And so I believe we need a motion on the -1 amendment.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the -1 amendment to House Bill 3331, dated 3/22/2013.
Representative Lively moves we adopt the -1 amendment to House Bill 3331, dated 3/22/13. Any discussion about? Is there any objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, the -1 amendment is adopted to House Bill 3331. And Representative Lively.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the -3 amendment to House Bill 3331, dated 4/8/2013.
Lively moves we adopt -3 amendment to House Bill 3331, dated 4/8/2013. Again, we have discussion. Any objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, -3 amendment's adopted. And we will close the works. Are we ready to move this bill?
Mr. Chair, we have statements of no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement is issued to send the measure on to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Great. Well, we will take that motion now, then.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3331 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 3331 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion? Seeing none. Samantha, can we have a vote, please?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative
Kenny
Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 3331 is passed to the Committee on Ways and Means. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 3331. And you remember where I am at. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2989. And committee, this is a bill that came to us, and I have offered to move it to the Committee on Ways and Means with no recommendation at the request of Representative McLean, and so that it can be in the consideration of some budget discussions down there. So, Representative Lively, a motion without recommendation to the Committee on Ways and Means?
Okay, I move House Bill 2989 without recommendation to refer to Ways and Means.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 2989 without recommendation and that the bill be referred to this to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion on the motion. Thank you. I will note that this bill has to do with a direct expenditure to the Crescent Sanitary District, where they've been having some septic issues, and we're hoping that the Committee on Ways and Means may find some dollars to help them out with their problems, and so that's why we're sending it down there at this point. So with that, Samantha, can we have a vote?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Smith? Aye. Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye.
Thanks.
House Bill 2989 is moved to Committee on Ways and Means. And I will close work session on House Bill 2989.
You're right.
And I'm going to stand at ease for just a moment.
what people are saying.
Bring the committee back to order.
State.
The committee back to order.
Okay.
No more socializing here.
So, committee, I really appreciate all the attention today and us able to get through a major portion of this agenda. It'll make me sleep a little better. But we do have some bills we need to carry over. So we're going to carry over House Bill 3400, House Bill 3172, House Bill 3415, House Bill 3447, House Bill 3013, House Bill 3174, House Bill 3360, House Bill 3145, and House Bill 3349. Oh, and House Bill 3159. So with that, we are going to adjourn the House Committee.
Just a moment. Could I suspend the rules and have Representative Thatcher be able to vote on the two bills we started out with?
Oh, sure.
Do you want to know? I would like to suspend the rules. Allow Representative Thatcher to vote on House Bill 3329 and House Bill 3258.
Which ones did I
miss? I have to do two separate ones.
Yeah, Representative Doherty moves that we suspend the rules for the purpose of allowing Representative Thatcher to vote on House Bill 3329. Is there any objection to the suspension of the rules? Seeing none, Representative Thatcher, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher votes aye on House Bill 3329. Representative Doherty.
If we could all, I would like to move to suspend the rules to allow Representative Thatcher to vote on House Bill 3258.
Representative Doherty moves that we suspend the rules to allow Representative Thatcher to vote on House Bill 3258. Is there any objection? Seeing none, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher votes aye on House Bill 3258.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kinney-Geyer.
Can I ask that we suspend the rules to allow Representative Johnson to vote on a couple, but I might need some help on what he missed.
Did I miss him?
I think two. It went really fast.
Representative Kinney-Geyer moves that we suspend the rules to allow Representative Johnson to vote on
House Bill 3168 and 2823.
On House Bill 3168. Is there any objection to the suspension of the rule? Seeing none.
Yes.
Johnson, how do you vote? He votes yes on House Bill 3168. And the other motion I need is on House Bill 20. Representative Kinney-Geyer makes motion that we suspend the rules for the purpose of Representative Johnson voting on House Bill 2823. Is there any objection to suspension of rules? Seeing none. Representative Johnson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Representative Johnson votes yes on House Bill 2823. So before I get too hasty, Bob, is there any other business of the committee today?
Not today, Mr. Chair.
Not today.
Thank you again, committee. And with that, we will adjourn the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Efficiency.